Good morning.
Good morning.
Grace and peace to you. God will take care of you. He does take care of you, especially if you are a child of God. Ask a question this morning to start our lesson. Are you an adult or a child? Maybe some of you don't want to answer that. Perhaps the best answer to that question is yes. You say you have a family, a job, a mortgage, you're paying a car payment or two and got all your bills going. And you say, I got to be an adult, right? Got to be an adult. But sometimes, you just want to back away from that, don't you? You want to play, you want to have fun, you want to goof off a little bit. Forget all the adult stuff. Join the club. You know, we're talking, you've heard me say many, many times about balance. And as we grow, of course, God expects us to mature, accept responsibility, grow in the Lord, become, as we say, productive members of society, and of course, helpers and faithful in the church of God. This is God's expectation. But there always remains within us that little bit of the child, the kid, that never grows up and I don't think is intended to grow up. Fathers, mothers, but usually it's fathers, play with their kids, right? And you get down on the floor. I remember doing that so much with Gabe and Buffy, playing with the cars and the castle. Yeah, the Sesame Street castle, and playing in the backyard. And of course, I know moms play the things that moms do with daughters usually. And even grandparents enjoying the grandchildren and their games and toys and so forth. That's right, huh, Jameson? Yeah, that's for sure. That's right. You can't let that go. To me, two of the saddest things in the world are an adult who never smiles, never laughs, and never has fun. That's such a shame, and I don't think we're made that way. And then the other thing is, clear over on the other end of the spectrum, an adult who never grows up. They never take anything seriously, they never accept responsibility, and their life is just a mess. It's balance, and for each one of us it's a little bit different, but there's always going to be that child in us. Let's go to John chapter 5. Now, fatherhood, and the title of the lesson, I am a child of God, but we're going to be focusing upon our Heavenly Father. And of course, He represents all parents, fathers and mothers. But fatherhood began with God. When He created, in the beginning, made man in His own image, that's when He began to be the father of all mankind. Now, in particular, as we're going to be talking in our lesson, He is a father of His children whom He's adopted through Jesus Christ into the kingdom, into His family. There's a difference there. He is generally the father of all people, and He wants all to do well. But in particular, He's the father of those who are in His family, the church family, the family of God. Jesus saw Himself as Son of the Father. I think that's most important for us to see. That He addressed Him as His Father, and He told other people that God was His Father. Not just His God, but His Father. We're going to look at John 5, 18 to 20. This is all through, especially the Gospel of John, about this idea. For this reason, therefore, the Jews were seeking all the more to kill Him, because he was not only was breaking the Sabbath, he had just healed the man there and told him to take up his pallet and walk, and they said, well, that's work and you shouldn't be doing that. But also was calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. Therefore Jesus answered and was saying to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself is doing, and the Father will show him greater works than these so that you will marvel. There's three things here, there's probably more, but three things I want to point out. First of all, the acknowledgement he was calling God his own Father. And this shows to me how Jesus totally accepted the fact that he became human. Okay? You know, back in eternity, there was the Father, if you will, the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit. But now that Jesus, through Mary, has become flesh, he now accepts that God is his Father, whom he really is through Mary. And he acknowledges that. Called God his Father and accepted the fact that he was one of us. That's what that shows. There is imitation here that he wouldn't do anything unless it says something he sees the Father doing. How many of you parents have learned that? Maybe in the wrong way. You know, you did something you shouldn't have done. You said, you know, a lot of times you said something. You know, the little eyes and the little ears, they take it all in. And whenever they see it happen, they think, well, it's okay to do, right? So I think all parents have experienced that, and they said, where did he get that, right? Where did she see how to do that? Well, guess what? It was probably you. So Jesus, being the perfect child, you know, he doesn't do anything except, you know, the Father only does good things, so he doesn't do anything except the Father shows him or tells him what to do. So he acknowledges that. And then there's the relationship. The Father loves the Son. And I find that, again, most interesting because, you know, back there in eternity, there's no doubt about the three being one, loving one another. You know, God is love. That was it. But now that Jesus is in the flesh, the Word of God is in the flesh, now he acknowledges and realizes and appreciates the Father loves the Son down here while we are separated and while I'm in this body of flesh. The Father loves me. And so he acknowledges this again and again, especially, as I said, in the Gospel of John. So why should we think any less that we are children and dependent upon our Heavenly Father, if Jesus was, if Jesus took this attitude here? So we're going to look at, I think it's five scriptures here that talk about how we are children of God. And again, talking about those who are in the family of God, been baptized into Christ and brought into the kingdom. And turn over in the Gospel of John to chapter 10. That'll be our next scripture there, verse 27 beginning. We are protected by our Heavenly Father. And we're just like parents protect their children. You parents protect your children? Long as you can, right? You know, they got to grow up and eventually you got to get out there on their own. But as long as they're under your roof, you're going to protect them, you know, from any kind of harm, from disease, from things that happen at school. You know, what parent who has a child in school never ended up going down to school and say, what happened? You know, what happened to my child? Why did he come home crying? Why did he come home telling stories about this person or that? And that's what you do. That's what you do. You protect your child. Uh, today especially, I was thinking, you got to watch the internet, right? And the social media and the phones. I guarantee you there's all kinds of, looks harmless, but there's underlying messages in a lot of that. And in so much of it, God is missing. They try to promote, you can do it on your own, you can do it by yourself, you can do it with this or with that, and God is missing. They never invoke or talk about you need God to help you through life. And that is as dangerous as some of the wickedness that we see, to promote you can just live life on your own and get by. Anyway, kind of getting us off a little bit, but we protect our kids. God protects his kids. John 10:27. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me, and I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. Now, that's Jesus talking. But then he says, my Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. So we see here, God is God. And kind of like Mike was saying here at the table, keep focus on Jesus, keep focus on God. He is the Almighty. No matter what we see happening, some of the Psalms talk about, things coming apart and the mountains falling into the sea. But God is still God. He's the Almighty, and he's the one to focus on. And he is not going to let Satan or any other entity, any other spirit being, physical being, military power, organization, or whatever, take you away from him. He won't allow it. He's all-powerful. So never doubt that. I'm reminded of what happened. I'm a history person with Germany under the Nazis and the rule of Hitler, how they broke apart families, destroyed families, especially Jewish families. And the stories are just heartbreaking. How they would come, even in the middle of the night, in the houses, and just take the father, and he's gone, and he's never seen again. Or take the parents, and they're gone, and they're never seen again, and the kids are left. Or they hauled them all off, and when they got to the camp, you're over here, and you're over here, and that was it. The family was broken. Never saw one another again. Never knew what happened. Just terrible atrocities. Our Heavenly Father won't allow that to happen. He protects his children. He will not allow you to be taken out of his family. Even if you die, you're still a part of his family. And again, this brings the focus in. What is it that really matters? Is it this life? Or is our life with God and the life we're moving toward life eternal? Certainly what we do now matters, but, Jesus said in one place, he who loves this life, what will happen? He says he'll lose it, right? He'll lose it. But if you're not concerned about protecting and saving this life, but you're concerned about the one to come, then you're going to save your life and save your soul. So the Father protects us. Secondly, let's go back to Matthew 6. Our Heavenly Father cares for us and he blesses us. He takes care of us. We all know these things, but I'm just trying to pull these all together here in this lesson. In this time of turmoil and strife, that if you are a child of God, your Heavenly Father is taking care of you. You know, this is not just spiritual stuff. This is reality in your daily life. Monday afternoon, Thursday morning, every day, 24/7. Your Father's looking out for you. Just like parents care for their children. I know we do. That's one thing, you know, we got enough food to eat, you know, and they have enough toys to play with. Your kids have enough toys to play with? They probably got too many toys to play with, right? The closet is full and overflowing. Well, you know, that's generosity and grace, and God bless you for that. God does the same for us. Matthew 6:7. And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as Gentiles do, for they suppose they will be heard for their many words. Last week we talked about continuing to be strong in prayer and continuing to come back in faith to ask God for something. Now, that's not a meaningless repetition when it's from the heart and it's boldness and you are fervent in your prayer. He's talking about here just, you know, saying words and saying, well, gee, I prayed 95 times. Why didn't God answer my prayer? Now, that's the meaningless repetition. Verse 8, so do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. He's attuned to our every need. He's attuned to the need of every individual one of us out there and in His family. Every individual, every person, every family, every couple, children, He's attuned. He knows what's going on and He knows what we need. We still need to ask because He's our Father. That continues to keep faith alive. And we continue to remember our dependence on Him. We don't ever want to lose sight of that. We are totally and absolutely dependent upon God for all things. Upon our Father in heaven. So He gives us the food, clothing, and shelter. We, you know, we have that. That's from His hand. He's established that in general as the way life is, but then in particular, He helps sustain us. The blessing of a spouse. When we're ready, when we have need, He'll bless us with a spouse. With children. Children, the psalmist says, are a blessing from God. From God. Friends. Church friends. He blesses, of course, with the gospel truth, with wisdom. We talked about asking for wisdom last time. And then, we're attuned to Him, Philippians chapter 4, with peace. How many of you have peace today? Look out and see the news and say, oh, I'm troubled and woo. Yeah, there's concerns out there, but do you have the peace of God? No, He's watching over all that too. The joy of God, you know, the fruit of the Spirit. You have freedom He has given us in Christ Jesus, contentment, that He has taken care of all these things. I'm a child of God. God's watching out for me. Number 3, let's go to Hebrews 12. Here's the one that we usually don't like, either to be on the giving end of it or the receiving end of it. Our Heavenly Father disciplines us for life in His kingdom. Just like parents train and discipline their children. I was reading a few verses in Proverbs about, wow, discipline a child. It says, discipline your child while there is still hope. And that's a little paraphrase. Discipline is absolutely necessary to rear a child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You just can't let them do what they want. That'll fail them every time. And it fails God. Listen to the words here. Hebrews 12:4. You have not yet resisted the point of shedding blood in your striving against sin. challenging these Christians who had already suffered at the hand of oppressors because of their faith, and the temptation was, well, we'll just go back under the law of Moses and just say we're Jews, and we'll avoid the oppression by saying that we are Christian and we're following Christ. And you have forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons or children. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are approved by him. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Notice the emphasis there. You know, sometimes we're going through a period of time, we say, well, God, wonder, what are you doing? You know, we barely have enough food here. I'm struggling. I got working two part-time jobs or whatever, or so-and-so that is sick and can't seem to get well. Don't ever overlook the fact that part of that might be discipline, that God is training you for perseverance, self-control, more trust in him. As Paul wrote, you know, in Corinthians there, when I'm weak, then I'm strong, that you got to turn to God more, that you've been trusting yourself too much. I've said this before, you always got to look for that. But God is doing something. And it's not necessarily bad. You read through the scriptures, and it even talks about sharing in the sufferings of Christ. And the idea is, that's not a bad thing, to share in the sufferings of Christ. That it's good for us to learn to suffer, to endure, to fight against evil, to endure some pain of this life, to recognize what, first of all, what Jesus went through and what God is wanting to give us in the next life, where there is a place, there is none of this. We could get off on suffering a little bit too much, but anyway. Verse 9, I think we read that, but we'll get back there. Furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us. We respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? We did have earthly fathers that disciplined us. We hope we did try to keep us on the right path. Sometimes they didn't get it right. I know that when Shirley and I disciplined our children, we didn't always get it right. We didn't have all the information. Sometimes we were a little too harsh. Sometimes we weren't harsh enough. Whatever. We're fallible. Fallible. But the point seems to be that discipline, whether it was absolutely correct or not, was good and helpful for the child. That they understood there were rules, there was authority, things need to be done in a certain way, and you just can't do whatever you want. Verse 10, for they disciplined us for a short time, and it seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good so that we may share his holiness. You know, some discipline, you know, that word is a big word. It is punishment for things done wrong. You know, you give the time out. You ever get the time out? You get something taken away from you. You can't play with your toys. You can't go out with your friends or whatever it is. And yeah, that's right. But then some discipline is training. That's what the word really means. It's training, trying to guide someone in the right direction, to give them the proper skills in life, show them the proper responses in life to how to get along, to how to live, in this case, the Christian life, a righteous life. So, you know, this is why parents give their children chores to do. And you know, clean up your room, do the dishes, whatever that is, walk the dog, make sure they get their homework done, check their homework, things like that. Accept responsibility, learn manners, respect, all these things. That's part of training in life. And of course, then we could get into training about Scripture, about God, and that He is there, and we need to respect Him and worship and so forth and so on. All these things have fallen under the roof of discipline, the umbrella of discipline. Look at verses 7 and 8 again. For discipline you endure, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? So he's saying it's going to come. One way or another, it's going to come. Yes, we are trained through the Word of God. And sometimes that's the best discipline there is, when we learn through that, hey, I don't have this right yet. I'm weak in this area. I'm falling down. I don't have self-control. I'm not a person who forgives readily. I'm not very joyful, and so forth. I'm not very loving. And so we learn discipline that way, but then other times, as we said before, God withholds, God puts something in our life, and He's testing us. He's training us. Verse 8, but if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. So the discipline comes. And he says, the writer is saying, be thankful for it, because we need it. We need that training in righteousness to become like Jesus. Okay, let's go to Romans 8. Our Father in heaven has provided an inheritance for His children. Just like you parents are building up an inheritance to pass on to your children, which we all do. Romans 8, 16. And this is one, I've said this before, this just blows me away, as they say. I wish I had a better terminology for that. Just incredible. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, all right, this is where we see this family aspect, of the family of God, that when we are adopted in through Christ Jesus. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him so that we may also be glorified with Him. There's that suffering idea again. But, you know, here's God bringing His creation, His people made out of dust, to whom He has given life, bringing them into the family of God. And not, it's not just, okay, well, you're saved from the wrath of God. You're saved from destruction in hell. You're saved from suffering later on in eternity. It's not just that, but He says, I'm going to give you an inheritance with Christ Jesus. You're going to inherit part or with Him or however He's going to do that, whatever that is, with Jesus. You get to share. Now that's love, that's grace, that's giving, and that shows the heart of our Heavenly Father. If you don't get anything else out of this lesson, get this. That shows His heart, what He wants you to have, to share with His Son what He's going to give Him in eternity. And as I read, it says something about all things. He inherits the nations, the world to come. It's all going to be His. We might debate what the inheritance will be, but if we're sharing it with His Son, Jesus Christ, It must be something pretty good, don't you think? Don't you think? Whatever the Father's going to give his Son is going to be awfully great, marvelous, good stuff. So, he's providing a future for us. He's saying, yeah, I'm going to bless you here. And we've seen, and he does bless us greatly with great things, but he's saying, ooh, you know, the old cliched phrase, the best is yet to come, is absolutely true. It's absolutely true for the Christian. Okay, our last scripture from 1 John chapter 3. I wanted to get this in here, and I was thinking about how to portray this. Our Heavenly Father has freed us from slavery to sin and the devil and brought us into his family. And it's just like earthly parents try to keep us, keep their children from doing wrong and ruining their lives. I know as children, you know, as they get older, you know, they start to go to school, they start to have friends, they start to get out there a little bit on their own. And this is when we parents, then we start to say, now, what is Johnny like, okay? Or what is this person like? Or where are you going? What place is that? What do they do there? And you get concerned because they're out there in the world among people and doing places that you want to know what's going on. And you're going to say, hey, I know about this person and they're not very good and I don't want you associating with them. You know, that's part of this, if you will, training, but it's part of trying to keep the child away from evil and protect them as they go out into the world. So, our Heavenly Father provides that for us. 1 John 3:7. And as I was studying this out, I connecting with this lesson in 1 John, how many times John talks about little children? It's all through there. I think he's just kind of trying to get us to see we are little children. We think we're so adult. I hate that term that they use now, adulting. I'm adulting. Okay. You're supposed to. You're supposed to grow up and be an adult. But John says, little children, in relationship to God, we're little children. We're so far beneath him as far as capacity to love, wisdom, strength, whatever you want to say, we're dust. We're little children. And John wants us to see that. So he said, little children, make sure no one deceives you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous just as he is righteous. I think there he's talking about Jesus. The one who practices sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for this purpose to destroy the works of the devil. We've talked about that before. That's why he came. No one who is born of God, all right, there's that born again we talked about a couple weeks ago. Born a child of God, this is the way we're adopted into the family of God. We are born again through Christ Jesus by water and the Spirit. No one who is born of God practices sin. All right? That is not our purpose. That is not our focus. That is not what we do. Now, we still sin, but we're not in the practice of practicing sin like the worldly folks are. Because his seed abides in him, he cannot sin because he is born of God or begotten of God. You see, through the Holy Spirit, through the blood of Christ, you're a child of God. By this, look at verse 10, by this the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. There again, what? We have two groups. There's only two groups. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor the one who does not love his brother. Being a child of the devil is a terrible thing. You do harm to yourself and harm to others. You live a selfish existence, a godless existence, and you end up living a wasted life. It does not honor God nor Christ. That's a fact. But a child of God is a beautiful thing and a blessed thing. You're a blessing and you do good to other people in the name of Christ. That's what you're about. God and Christ are honored in your life. Not just when you're here in the assembly and worshiping, but day in and day out in the way you do your job. And we're planning to have a lesson on the glory of the ordinary. And it will really help us out. Whatever you do, day by day, to honor Christ, even in your job, is important the way you do it. It is actually service to God, but I'm getting ahead of myself. And then the child of God, their life has meaning and divine purpose because they're serving the Lord. They're trying to teach others about Christ, okay? They are serving others. They're helping when there's need, okay? And that all counts in heaven. That all counts in eternity when we do those things as children of God. Your life has meaning and purpose. Our Heavenly Father has made His children His own. There should be, if you're a child of God, great comfort and peace and joy in knowing you are a child of God and your Heavenly Father's taking care of you. You know, there's other, you can read through the New Testament, there's other things we could cite today about what the Father does and promises to do for us. But this is, He's doing it right now. This is reality. And you should take great comfort in that. And the question then becomes, are you a child of God? Are you? Have you been born again of water and the Spirit and brought into the family of God? Do you have this hope? Maybe at some point you wandered away and turned your back, like we had the story here 2 or 3 weeks ago about the two sons, the one who left, wanted to do his own thing, and he was gone for a while, but then his father accepted him back, but he had to come back. He had to acknowledge his sin that he was away, and he came back. So as we wrap this lesson up, bring it to a close, just consider, are you a child of God? Are you living like a child of God? Are you trusting Him? Are you rejoicing in the fact that He's watching over you? Are you not living in fear of what's going on around you and intimidated by the world? We should not live that way. We should walk with God as our Father and Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. God bless you, and we pray that His Word will bear fruit in all our lives. Thank you.
Thank you for listening today. For more from Jeff Kent and the Shady Side Church of Christ, please go to our website at cfcshadyside.com. There you can access our entire library of Sunday church lessons and Jeff's weekly blog. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram under Shady Side Church of Christ. Remember, all are welcome. Thanks again. Have a blessed week.